Well, good morning. Try it again. Good morning. So good to see you this morning. Glad you're here. Hope you've had a great week. We welcome you, those who are our guests today especially, we welcome you. Glad you've come this way. And today I want you to just feel like we're sitting around the kitchen table and we've been on a trip and we're sharing. I'll say a special word of thanks to all of you for praying for us while we were gone to Nigeria, for your sacrificial giving. There are some people in this room that sacrificed a great deal financially for us to go. And God bless you. And I thank God for you. And we thank you for your prayers. If you've not read the blogs, I encourage you, if you'd just like to find out, you know, how the whole time flowed. I think we're up to about 15 or 16 entries now. We'll have a few more on there. Go online, www.thesycamorechurch.com. You can click on the blogs. You can see all these pictures. And I think do we have a couple of videos on there yet, John? Okay. I want to make sure we get the monkey video on there. If we don't see any of them today, we're going to see that one. Make sure that it's on there. But I'd like for our team to come up at this time. Dr. O'Carey, would you lead your team on up here? And yeah, thank you, John. And by the way, you can take a look at while they're coming, some things that are up here on the table. A little show and tell. Naira. It takes 150 of these to make a buck. So that means that 50 nairas, that's worth about 33 cents right there, American. And Dr. O'Carey in a little while is going to explain to us what kola nuts are, but I brought back Obama's kola nut that I've got to give to the president somehow. And 2 years ago I failed. I did not deliver him his kola nut, but I've been instructed to give him that. And and send it, right? And these are black-eyed peas. They make a great dish out of this where they skin that. What do you call it, Leslie?
You mean the final product?
Yeah, the final product.
It's moi moi.
Moi moi, okay. Yeah. It's very good. And of course, I'll be telling you what this is. All right. Dr. O'Carey, if you'll lead us off, we're going to get everybody a chance to share. And before you say anything, I want to say about the O'Carey children, I accused them, Kennedy, of drugging them before we left. They were wonderful. They were troopers. They didn't complain. They were kind to adults and did not whine. The whole time, even when they were sick. Chechi got sick while we were gone, but Dr. O'Carey.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you especially for your prayers and for your donations, for your support. I feel strongly that the entire church went on this mission. Just as I usually say, you either go by donation, or you go in person physically like we went, or you go by praying for us. So at the end of it all, I'm sure every one of us has been involved in one way or the other in this mission. This is a clear mission of evangelical mission as well as a medical mission. We have about 14 of us that went on this trip. Some other people that joined us from Kentucky, Jacksonville, and some came from Atlanta. So it was a complete team. We were able to visit two states the Akwa Ibom State, where the pharmacist comes from, Mr. Obong, and also Imo State. Two states, but four towns. I will not say much now, just from the medical aspect of it. We saw about 780 patients. I cannot tell the number of patients that were canceled, but a good number of them were canceled. I'll leave the evangelical part of it for Dusty to talk about. And every one of us here have something to say. Mainly from the medical aspect of it, we saw cases of hypertension, diabetes, arthritis. Of course, malaria was pretty common. We were able to do as much as we can. Some we couldn't treat. There were some minor surgical cases that we had to handle, some lacerations that we needed to repair. And the entire thing ended up with a celebration. We'll see that later.
I have been on a mission trip 3 times with Kennedy, but the first 2 times I went, it was kind of different because I was in the middle of school. I spent more time visiting the business center trying to keep up with my classes, so I was there, but I wasn't quite there. This was the first mission for me where I was actually there. And I did a lot of praying before I left because I wasn't sure where I'd be very helpful. And God spoke to me in a different way. He said that the first duty or job he's given to a woman or a mother is her family. And that is a ministry in and of itself. And it was my main area when I was there. The goal of Horizon is to teach, to heal, and to preach. So my main area when I was there was to teach. Bearing in mind that there are 2 groups of people to teach. There are the people that live there you have to teach, and then there's your own family. So I spent time teaching my family of what they're seeing, how to help, how to become a part of the community, how to mix with the people, and just pretty much sharing the ministry, sharing God's gospel in that way. And I feel I really did what God wanted me to do in that sense. So there are many things you can do when you get there, but that was the most important thing for me.
And so specifically, what did you do?
That would be very helpful. Yes, well, I wasn't able to go to Akwa Ibom State and to Mbise. Those were because of transportation issues. So I went on to 2 of the 4 sites. The first one was Ihiagua, which is my husband's hometown. And the second one was Imerianwe, which is Reverend Clement Amadi's hometown. Specifically in those 2 areas, what I did is I took the kids to the Baptist elementary school, and I had them interact with the kids, play with them. We got them some food, and we distributed food to the kids. And we all prayed together. Okay.
Well, when we were in Nigeria, this was my first time going to Nigeria, and I loved it. It was definitely a new experience for me, but Dr. Akiri would always joke with me because I went there thinking I would mostly be working with the children, and every day that would change because I would always end up filling in a different area wherever we were needed, wherever I was needed, because we were a little bit short-staffed, and so sometimes I would end up giving out glasses to folks or just manning the door so that people didn't come into the clinic when they weren't supposed to. But I have to say that being with the children was always the thing that I enjoyed most. And I always received a blessing no matter what I ended up doing. I mean, I feel like I received more of a blessing than they did, but I definitely hope that, they received the blessing as well. Something that I was just overwhelmed by was how generous the people were, no matter how much or how little they had. They were always wanting to, wherever we went, no matter what clinic we were at or no matter what church we were at, wherever we went, people were always wanting to give. And I guess here that's not always something I see, but the folks just you know, were always just, it was just a generosity you saw. You know, we went to the brother of one of our team members' houses when we were there, and he didn't even know us, but he had a full spread laid out for us, and we were complete strangers to him. I was sharing with Dad that that was something that just really impressed me, just because of the fact that we were Christians, and he, you know, we were family members, and that he knew us because of that. You know, other than that, we were complete strangers to him. But because of the fact that we, you know, shared that that family, that you know, that brother and sisterhood, you know, he was willing to open his home to us and share in that with us. But it was a true blessing, and I'm so glad that I got to take part in it.
I've been asked a whole lot, hey, how'd you like the trip? Did you have fun? And my first reaction was always, it was amazing. Because that is the word that I use to describe it. We saw all of these people, and like you see people, like those ladies there, they would always have a smile on their face. They would never be sad. They would never feel like they were hurt. They would always have a smile on their face because they knew who they belonged to. When we went to the church, it was the coolest thing. Miss Leslie laughed at me, Lolo laughed at me. Because I felt at home, because I knew, like Megan said, that they were my brothers and sisters, and they accepted every one of us just as we were. They sang, they danced, they preached, they laughed. It was just all one bond that I can't wait to get to heaven and have that with everybody else. And just to see that little tiny slice of what it's like to be with people who don't care what you wear, who don't care what you say, they care how you live your life. They care if you serve, if you give your time, if you invest in them. And that's the thing that I wanted to take away, is their passion for relationships with people, with God, with everyone around them. They didn't want anyone to feel left out or discouraged. At the place that we were staying in Owerri, there was this kid named Joseph. And he was the closest one to my age there that I met. He was 23. And every single time that I would walk by him or I would see him, he would always go, hey, Michael, how are you doing? And I'd be like, I'm good, Joseph. How are you? And he cared about me. It wasn't just hey, and keep on walking. He wanted to stop and keep on talking because he wanted to invest himself in my life. And it was amazing.
All right.
Censor it again.
Sorry. When we were at the clinic, I worked as the nurse. I did the initial triage of people.
Hello, nurse.
Are we good?
All right, Michael did a great job, and he had transient training. He could take blood pressure, he could check blood sugar, he could take basic information that that the doctor needed to know. So he did a very great job. He doesn't want to mention about that, but he did a wonderful job.
He's giving the senior palm. Yeah, and he skipped his senior prom to go. Yeah, everybody, aw. Love you, Michael. I'm just glad that I kept some of those emails that I got telling me that I'd won the Nigerian lottery, because I was able to cash one of those in to get my return ticket back. So that was good. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I did before Kennedy comes over and bangs me on the head to say, tell them what you did. What did I do? I went with Dusty a couple days. We went to the Baptist high school. I got to do some music with the kids and talk to the kids a little bit about music. Same thing at the Baptist, the Bible college. Been calling it a seminary. It's not quite a seminary yet. It's because of resources and accreditation and stuff, but they're heading in that direction. So hopefully with one of these days, with what we're able to do for them, they'll get to that point. Also got to help with the kids at some of the clinics, as well as doing videography and a fair amount of photography. Took 755,000 photos. Okay, not really. took a few hundred pictures. But I do have to tell you, one kid at, it was the last day of clinic, and I'm doing some magic tricks for the kids. And this one kid just cracked me up. Every time I would do a trick, like I have one where I take a length of rope about this long, show the rope, and then I take the rope and I make it stand straight up. I hold the bottom of it and boop, the rope's standing straight up. Yeah, as soon as that happened, this one kid, Jesus! Jesus! Have another one, a coloring book. You flip through, you've probably seen this, you flip through it, there are no pictures. You draw pictures on the outside of it, then you flip through them, there are pictures. Then you flip through the same book, and then the pictures are colored and all this. Again, every time I would do one of those, this little boy, Jesus! Oh. I thought they were going to like run me out of town or something. It was like, you know, he's a witch. But no, they knew their tricks. It was a lot of fun. And the other thing with the kids, working with the kids, there was a song I wrote, a short little song I wrote, The Last Trip. One of the best drinks you can get in Nigeria, doo-doo. I don't know if you saw that or not. You can't back that up, can you, John? Doo-doo, it's the best thing you've ever drank. It's true. Love my doo-doo. Don't know what to do? That's right. If you don't know what to do, do. So, but I played the song for the kids, and the lyrics to the song are, "For the Lord is good all the time, and all the time the Lord is good." 2 years ago, I had a native Nigerian translate the song for me into Igbo. Well, I asked, finally, after 2 years, I asked Kennedy to look at the translation and make sure it was the right translation. And sure enough, the translation is right. So I asked the kids, I said, "Do you think I know Igbo? Think I can sing Igbo now?" And of course, some of the kids are saying yes, some are saying no. So I started singing the song, Chini Kedima Umboche, Chini Kedima Umboche. And the kids just loved that. They were cracking up. Okay, so we're singing it, we're singing the song, and we're doing the song, they're having a great time. The old ladies are singing the song in Igbo, and I'm thinking, oh, this is great, this is awesome. A little while later, Leslie comes up to me and says, "Gary, the children are outside singing the song you taught them, but they're singing it in your accent." Which, of course, I told her, I don't have the accent, they do. They're the ones with you. But anyway, the short answer, how was the trip? Good. The long answer, as I told someone earlier, the long answer would take lunch in about 3 hours. I've had a lot of people say, "Was this better than the last one?" No. Different. Always different. Every church service is different. Every time you pray with somebody is different. Anytime you're doing something with the body of Christ, even though it may look the same on the outside, yeah, it's different. It's different. Next time you may not get extensions. Next time you may. You never know. So anyway, so that's it. James?
Well, I wanted to start with a quick story too. Dusty mentioned something about some of the things he was given as gifts. You see the dashiki and everything. But the first Sunday we were there, they did like a celebration of couples who had been married for 40 years or longer. But as well as the garment and the hat, get over here and we'll make sure you all see it. I don't know if Dusty caught this translation, but somebody translated it for me, and they told me it is the geriatric scepter of stability. So, anyway. Couldn't miss the chance to get Dusty. but, you know, I work in the pharmacy. I was a pharmacy tech whenever I was in high school, which is... you know, I just count pills. It's nothing special. And sometimes that can be a lonely, angry, sweaty job. There's not a lot of human interaction. It's just kind of getting it through there, getting it done as fast as you can, which can become frustrating, which I've learned from these trips that frustration with what you can't do is common. I mean, you feel it. With that said, I want to kind of share a couple of other stories. My brother, the first day at the first place we went, at the end of the day, he was telling me he was frustrated because all he was doing was taking prescriptions and passing them from the doctor to the pharmacy and then directing, you know, the patients to where to wait for it, which doesn't seem like a big deal, but as in America, in Nigeria as well, people will break into the pharmacy to get their drugs. So that's important to have it organized. And by about the third day, Zach, who's the guy right there in the middle who has the Georgia hat on, I could just see on his face that he had hit this wall of frustration. I mean, just you could see it. And he said, man, I hate practicing medicine here. I hate it. There's so much. They all have a variety of things that are wrong, and we have such little medication. We have such little equipment, such little time to serve them. And, you know, he's just talking about how he just feels like there's nothing he can do. You know, he's just overwhelmed. And so I'm hearing these things. Then Dr. Felix, who's Leslie's uncle from Jacksonville, starts telling me about all the other things. He's a OB by trade, correct? And he was telling me all the things that he wished he could do and that he couldn't do and those kinds of things. So all this is mounting. And that said, I'm going to ask for a little crowd interaction, because even though this is our testimony, it's yours too. So you can either let this pass through as a story that's good, makes you feel good, and you'll sleep better at night, or you can take credit for what your part is. So anybody who said a prayer, stand up. Anybody who gave money, anybody who took my wife and children to dinner or gave them a call while I was gone to make sure they were okay. I want you to stand up while I read this to you, because I fought and fought and fought to get perspective so that hopefully you can kind of understand what we feel here. Help me out a second here. The emptiness of a life spent without you. Why can't I feel your touch? Why can't I hear your voice? Why won't you fill me? Like the corpse of an aborted child, I feel unloved, unwanted, and disregarded. How can I move forward knowing they still hunger, knowing they still suffer, and so many are still lost? Our medicine is temporary, our prayers forgotten, our gifts broken. Why can't I find peace? My soul aches, my heart is constricted. My mind is restless, searching for truth, for solace, for answers. I want to carry the burdens. I want to be crushed by the desolate conditions of humanity. I can't stand to see one lost, to see one walk away unserved, one die unloved, lost forever, untouched by you. Why me? Why did you save me? I have no purpose, only your will. I must give it to you. I only condemn them if I don't let go. My obedience is all you can use. Our mission was not to serve them all, only to obey. Obey you, Abba, Daddy. Our abilities insignificant. Our impact a fleeting breeze in a desert of despair. But through Yeshua's sacrifice, through his death and resurrection, you unleashed your power, your spirit, in and amongst your people. Lives were changed. Your truth was shared. Thank you for choosing me, for choosing us, for using us, for loving us. We celebrate the victories, but we are not satisfied. We are ready to reach out to the lost, next door, in Nigeria, or in any place where you weep for the lost. We have no fear because we have you. We have no limitations because we have you. Yeshua, you are better than I ask you to be, unable to be contained by the grave or our language. You cannot be defeated by the corruption of humanity, the schemes of the evil one, or the limitations of my flesh. You are Yeshua, Son of the living God, and we claim victory in every life you chose to let us touch. And as they say in Nigeria, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Kelechi, what did you do while you were there, son? Did you play? You didn't do anything? You slept the whole time, right?
Yes, sir.
What did you do? Did you meet some new friends?
Yes.
You did? Okay. How about Chitty Mom? What did you do?
Well, I played soccer and I made some new friends, and one is Franklin.
And what do they call soccer over there?
Football.
Football. Was it fun?
Yes.
It was a lot of fun. Chechi, now you learned a new game, right?
Yes.
What's the name of that game?
Finger on a Rosie. in a different language. Ring Around the Roses. In a different
language. Ring Around the Roses. And what was that other game you were telling me you were playing?
Papangolo.
But what is it in English?
Ring Around the Roses.
No, the other game.
With the chicken.
What was that game called?
Slapping chickens.
Slap the chicken. Okay. And what do you do in the game called Slap the Chicken?
You have to get a stick and try to slap a chicken.
Okay. Yes, Kalechi.
I was just drinking water until I poured one on the chicken. My brother saw it coming running for him. He took a big stick and couldn't get it over his head, going like, "Ah, oh, come here, chicken. Ah, oh, come here." He just couldn't get it. And so I gave him a thin stick and then bow.
And y'all are going to take your mom and dad back this summer, right? To Nigeria? Y'all going back?
Yes.
Dr. O'Keefe, I'd like for you to tell them about the chieftaincy and the significance of that particular one in that town.
Well, we've been doing medical missions to different places. And one of the things that the kings do is when you've contributed to the community and to the society, they honor you. However, for this chieftaincy ceremony, which we attended and which I was honored with, Leslie. My grandfather used to be the king of that town, my late grandfather, before he died. And my uncle did not want to become the king, so it moved to somebody else. So anyway, when I grew up, we felt that the leadership role should return back to the family. And so I was coronated as the chief. In that town, and the rest is story.
Hey, John, can you bring up the? This is after the ceremony, the high chief shuffle. This is after it has taken place. And this guy and the band, they danced them in and then danced them out. But I wanted you to see the moves that the high chief is making there. And the footwork is something else. Now, now Leslie knows her way around the dance floor. I wanted you to see the high chief shuffle. That's it. Thank you. God bless you. Okay, John, if you cue up those few pictures, I wanted to go through just a few pictures with you and tell you about these people. And this is hear, speak, and see no evil. They're the one day. I don't know why they did that, but. Okay. This is at Community Baptist, the church that Dr. Amadi, Dr. O'Carey's uncle, our good friend, that he planted several years ago that we have contributed to. And these are some of the people that were honored that day, that first Sunday we were there. They've been married 40 years or more. And you'll see one right in the middle there that received a special dress while she was there. And she probably would have worn it today, except she doesn't know how to put it on. She needs some instruction. Next one, John. This is at the theological school. They have about 160 students now. Go on to the next one, John. This is after the chieftaincy ceremony, and that's Dr. O'Carey's mom on the right there, and she'll be visiting next week. She's coming to see us. And, of course, here is the Reverend Dr. Clement A. Amadi. my good friend. He gave me a name. What is that name?
Ekweme. Ekweme means he that does what he says. It's a big title.
That's a great reputation for our church. I want you to know that it means a great, great deal. Do what you say. Do you remember the building that was falling down that just had 2x4s that were leaning this way and then it got washed away? Well, that's from our gifts the last time, what they were able to do. And even had overflow seating out to the side. The Sunday morning we were there, we were doing the honoring those who had been married for 40 years or more. We had about half a dozen of the young folks and young adults who received Christ. And all of them were sitting in the overflow on the side there. Next one, John. This is at the high school there. Had quite a number of kids, probably 25, 30 kids that received Christ there when we were there. We gave them a computer, money, other things, but that computer is it has a 4-hour battery. That'll be a great, great gift to them. Those of you, I just want you to know the things you were investing in, we spread it around while we were there, every place that we went to get the maximum effect. Next one, John. It's Dr. O'Carey and myself with CY. CY, I don't know what to call CY. He's just the man that makes things happen when he's there. We depend on him. He has a beauty supply business, but he's a traveling evangelist and teacher. He put his whole agenda on hold while we were there, and he is a great man of God. I love to pray with him. Another picture you saw earlier, he's got that little hat on. He kind of looks like Odd Job in the old Bond movies from years ago. This is with the faculty at the theological school. Going to the next one. And here is with Dr. Felix. This is Leslie's uncle, who is a OBGYN down in Jacksonville. Next one. Gary, that was right after he did that rope trick. Jesus! The kids lined up out there, the cool breeze blowing through there at the high school, and they loved Gary. What Gary didn't say is he also did a comedy routine while he's out there. He's found his place, by the way. They all think he's funny. In fact, they're hilarious. And there we are preaching there. Going to the next one. That is Mrs. Amati beside Megan, between Megan and Lolo. All right. And can you see? Yeah, you can see this a lot better. This is in Lagos. That's a church building right next to a mosque. That picture describes Nigeria right now. Nigeria is about half Christian, half Muslim. And you can draw a line pretty much across the middle of the country. And that's the description. They're in the middle of elections, or will be in about a week. And we need to be praying for them that all hell doesn't break loose. There have already been murders, there have been kidnappings in regard to this. But I'm praying for good luck, Jonathan. he seems to be the man of the hour. Okay, John, have I got some more? Several of those that received Christ that Sunday morning, go on, move on. I wanted you to see that AK-47 that went around with us. We had security at all the places where we went, and this some of the folks from the guy in the white with the white shorts. He was the owner of the hotel. Last thing he did before we left on Saturday. He brought his whole family up there and had me pray over his family. And the guy Joseph that Michael spoke of, that Michael spent so much time with, Joseph received Christ on Saturday morning while we were there. And bless God. This fella that's standing next to me, this is a pastor, Community Baptist. He doesn't speak Igbo. He's from the north. He's in the Muslim area up there. We need to pray for him. He's only been pastor there. He's come down there to go to school, theology school, and he's pastor at Community Baptist. He is a humble man, but a powerful man of God. And he wants us to pray for him. He said, and we invested some in him, some money for his family, as people, friends, family, those where he lives are being murdered for their faith. Their houses are being burned. This doesn't hit the news in our Western news cycle. The great evil that's being done. But you know what he can't wait to do? He's down the south where it's safe. He can't wait to go back. And he said, and when I go back, you're going to come see me, aren't you? And do the same thing up there, right? And anyway, this is the pastor at Mary Inway, which means, what does the name of the town mean?
It's the town that do not eat monkeys.
That's right. That's right. Tell them about that.
That's my maternal home, and that's where I received another chieftaincy title. Monkeys come into the house, play with the people, and go out. They don't eat monkeys. So monkeys just live with the people.
And speaking of monkeys, I want you to see this brief video. We had a monkey come to the clinic. Pay close attention to the dialogue.
Okay.
If you didn't understand, they said, this is not a monkey. This is my son. And he bit him on the hand. I want you to see Pastor's life and peace, and I want Terry to see this. That's where the megaphone is. These are two street pastors, church planters over in Upong State, where we went to do one of the clinics. And as soon as these two guys sat down and started, they helped me with the prayer time, because while the clinic would be going on, we'd have a prayer room and we'd pray all day. We'd pray for people that come in there. We saw people healed. We saw people delivered. We saw people set free from the power of demons. We saw people saved. Many of them over and over and over again, God did His work everywhere we went. The power of God, what was there. This one lady just came in there racked with pain all over her body. And one of the guys, see why I said, you know, that we've closed up the clinic for right now, but Dr. Jesus is still open over here. Said, come over and we'll pray for you. And as we prayed, the pain left her body. And she could stand up. Another lady that was just slumped over and could not stand up. And God raised her up. Over and over and over again, the power of God, signs and wonders, was not the exception to the rule. It was the rule. Because the Bible says signs and wonders shall follow them as you preach the gospel. And as Jesus was raised up. It's a powerful, powerful thing. We praise the Lord. I want to tell you about that pastor there at Kennedy's maternal home. That may be the most humble man of God that I have ever met. And at the end of the day, I was praying. I said, God, I want him to pray for me. But I just didn't feel the freedom to ask him to do that. in the day, and we've prayed for, I don't know, 50, 100 people by the end of that day together, and I've just seen him listen to the Spirit of God and move in the Spirit. And then he grabs me afterwards, he said, I want to pray for you and for your daughter. And, oh, man, what a gift from God. What a gift. We have many other stories to share, many things to share, and I hope that you'll spend the time with the people who are seated here, with Dr. and Ms. O'Carey. What a privilege it was for me to be there at that chieftaincy ceremony and to see God honored there. I had the opportunity to say something at the reception following, and I asked Clement, I said, well, Clement, what do I say? And he said, you talk about Jesus. God honored us while we were there with His presence and with His power. And I just want to say before all of you today, I thank the Lord for Dr. O'Carey's obedience to the Lord to give back, to pay it forward in his country. It would have been very easy for he and his family to be here and never think about Nigeria again. But God would not let that happen. And he has listened to the Lord, and it has just been a wonderful experience. I want you to pray for all of these people, these pastors, these church planters. Pray that Clement Amadi will have a long life. Clement is 10 years older than me. He's 66 years old. And I told him, I said, Clement, you've got to take care of yourself because you've got to live a long time because he is such a blessing to so many people there. Because God's hand is upon him. Doors open, relationships are there that didn't happen overnight. It's only by the power of God. I want us to join together right now and to pray and to thank God for what he's done. Would you just join hands with the people next to you right now? Lord, we give you honor and praise and glory. There is no other in the earth. I thank you for what we saw. We saw your power. Lord, you made it plain to me over and over again while we went over there. Lord, touching people through medicine, through prayer, through teaching and preaching, and just being a friend. The part, God, that you've not made completely plain to me is now you have sent us back into this culture that is resistant to the gospel, that's not as open. God, I pray your power for us to be who you've called us to be in this culture. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, our Jesus kin. I ask that you would encourage them, that you would provide for them, that you would do great and wonderful things through them. We bless you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, Gary's got a song that he's going to do. And while they're getting ready for that, yeah, y'all can get a seat. Thank you, Dr. and Ms. O'Carey. God bless you. While I was there, one of the instructors at the theology school is a guy who is the president of the Nigerian Baptist Convention. He came up to me, and he probably gave us one of the greatest compliments that we could have. We gave him the gifts. We took all the books, theology books, the Greek New Testament, the computers, software, all this stuff, and we presented all money, we presented all that to them. And he stood up and he said, Pastor, it's obvious you didn't think about this on the way to the airport and just plan it at the last minute. I said, that's right. He said, we appreciate all the stuff you've given. He said, this is wonderful. By the way, a laptop over there would cost you, a base model laptop would cost you over there $1,500 U.S. U.S. Our money. So very expensive, very valuable. He said, but here's the greatest thing of all. He said, to know that you have not forgotten about us. 2 years you've been thinking about us and planning to come back. He said, to know that people are praying for us and that think about us and have not forgotten us, that's a great encouragement. I promised him we would pray for him. Will you join me?
It must be a God thing, Dusty. Dusty's never heard this song. Has no idea what the subject matter of the song is. Sort of when we all listen at the same time. That's really cool. A quick sound check, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Let's pray. And before we go to the Lord, we would like to, if you're our guest today, we'd like to get that card from you today. If you have an offering to bring, we'll have a basket back at the door. You can either bring it up here or put it in the basket at the door. We'd like to get those cards from you today too. All right. Lord, we pray now you'll send us out. Send us out into the world. Send us with your power. Lord, you promised that signs and wonders would follow those who go in the name of Jesus, would follow the gospel, the good news. Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. Pray that, Lord, you'll encourage them today. That they'll feel your power. Lord, they'll know that they've not been forgotten. And I ask you, God, may we follow their example of simple faith. May we trust you with everything in our lives. And trust you to do those powerful works. The works of salvation, the works of deliverance, the works of healing. We bless you. And it is in the strong and powerful name of Jesus we make this prayer. Amen.